I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back live at the Grand Hotel of Cayman, New Jersey. Appreciate you being here today. Now, you may know this, but we are in one of the most solidly Republican counties in New Jersey, Cape May County. And my buddy Michael Donahue is the chairman of the Republican Party in Cape May, New Jersey. He's also the Orsted killer.
Yeah.
He saved us from the Danish wind turbine company, Orsted. He's the man right here. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
I like your shirt.
Fight salty. That's
Fight
what it's
salty.
All about.
It's good. Yeah, not bad. How are we looking in Jersey these days?
Well, which part of Jersey?
All right. South Jersey, we're good. We're pretty good.
No, right? I think we're doing all right. I think we have some good trends. You know, President Trump is polling closer than any other Republican presidential candidate in a long time, I think, since George H.W., maybe. So that's a good sign for us. And I think he's building momentum. And every point he gets closer is better for candidates down ballot. So I'm enthusiastic. I think we're going to do all right here.
That's
we always
good.
Do well here. It's always great to have you in Cape May.
Well, we love coming here. And I think that if Trump's doing well in the polling in Jersey, that's a good sign for our friends in Pennsylvania, because that means a lot there. There's two corrupt cities in Pennsylvania you got to overcome, Philly and Pittsburgh. But in Jersey, there's like 250 corrupt Democrat cities you got to overcome. Literally.
True story.
Yeah, because there's more municipalities than there are people in New Jersey. I think when we were here in Wildwood, when Trump came for the big rally with Jeff Van Drew and everybody, I mean, 107,000 people or something like that.
It was
insane. I mean, we've never seen anything like this before. And then we were talking about this after the convention, too, in Milwaukee. The Republican enthusiasm factor is great. Everybody came home for Trump except for like two people, and one of them is Mitt Romney. On the Democrat side, though, they seem to have a real problem with their coalitions, and it seems like their coalitions are breaking apart, doesn't it?
There's no doubt about it. If you look at the polling in terms of the Hispanics moving to Trump, African-American men moving to Trump, even some younger voters and especially suburban voters moving back to Trump, it's a huge problem for them, and they know it. Look, I don't want to get overly optimistic, but the trends are all going the right way, and you can peak too soon, which I think Kamala did in her little honeymoon there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she and Tim Walz just can't help stepping in it. I shouldn't have said there.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember Fun Dip?
Oh, yeah.
Fun Dip was 100% sugar with a sugar spoon, and you'd eat it, and you felt great for like 15 minutes, and then you crashed. It was probably the equivalent of doing cocaine, but you're a kid, so Fun Dip was the closest it came. That's what Kamala's bump felt like.
I think you're right.
Right?
Sugar high. And
sugar high,
crashed.
And then crash. Right.
And
down.
I told some of the Trump people this morning they need to start calling Tim Walz Tommy Boy. He's Tommy Boy. He is. You know, you can get a good look at your butcher, you know. I mean, that guy can't help himself either. So the more they're out there, the more they're talking, the better it is for Trump, the better it is for all of us. And I think we're heading in the right direction all over the place. Look at the polling across the country.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday or the day before, if the election were that day and the polling was all correct, Trump gets 312 electoral votes, which, you know.
That's a landslide. I mean, look, in this day and age, that's an electoral college landslide. So, Chairman Mike Donahue, let me ask you this question regarding working class voters. I have a theory that a lot of this is driven by, I mean, we know the outsourcing of jobs, obviously, American manufacturing, but both parties have done a lot of that. But a lot of this is the war on energy. And you were on the front lines of this, fighting in Cape May County to keep the wind turbines away, which would have destroyed this coastline. And, I mean, they're still at it. The efforts are still right there. At the same time, Kamala Harris says she wants to ban fracking. Tim Walz, just like Murphy, they put in an EV mandate, essentially. They ban gas-powered vehicles by 2035. They're going after jobs in fossil fuel industry. I mean, I think a lot of the war on energy is because the working voters have said enough is enough with this crap, and they know the Republican Party is going to protect their jobs.
Well, listen, I agree. It was sort of speculative a few years ago what the outcome would be with they really push in this direction, but now we can look at California. We can look at what happened actually in parts of Texas when the windmills froze and the grid was down. But if you look at California with rolling brownouts and blackouts, that's the future for the entire country if they keep going in this direction. And they're okay with it because they sacrifice all of us on the altar of this Green New Deal. And it's a lie. I mean, they repeat, we have to do offshore wind because we have to fight climate change. It's a lie. I'll say it's a lie over and over again. It's not hyperbole. It's true. They are lying about it. If you look at what the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management has said on multiple offshore wind projects, they say the federal government, Biden's federal government, says this will not have an impact on climate change. And yet they just keep saying we have to build these because of climate change. It's all about money. It's all about tax incentives. It's all a farce. And it will destroy our fishing industry. It will destroy the ocean floor, millions of acres. It will kill birds, eagles, piping plovers, all those things. It's killing the whales. I don't care what they say. They're killing the whales.
Yeah.
And, you know, we fought very hard for 2 or 3 years, and we're still in the federal court fighting to get rid of their federal permits. And to a certain extent, you know, we just timed it perfectly, with supply chain, inflation, everything else. And we were very aggressive in litigation. And it was actually Halloween, which is now one of my favorite days of the year, last year. And Orsted said we're sailing back to Copenhagen. And it was a huge day for all of us. And we continue to fight. We have Atlantic Shores that's going in off of Atlantic City.
Yep.
But, you know, they've spread a lot of money around. They have friendly elected officials in Atlantic City. And
oh, shocking.
Yep.
Corruption in Atlantic City. I mean, who would have ever thought that?
It's one of your 250 New Jersey towns that you have to get through.
But I'm shocked. Fighting. Shocked to find gambling in here.
That's why we need people like the Zeoli Army to stay engaged, because it ain't over. We're still fighting. And I'm in touch with people up and down the coast from Maine to Rhode Island, Nantucket, Virginia, Maryland. You know, you had one.
Did you talk to the brothers in Martha's Vineyard?
Oh, yeah. No, I heard all about the brothers.
Yeah, the brothers in Martha's Vineyard?
You get the brothers. Well, yeah. Like you said, I heard you on the way in. Both of them are probably close to in Martha's Vineyard. You know, I think he convinced the other guy in his speech last night. So, yeah. Oh, Lord. They're just shameless.
But you're right, though. I mean, they're still trying here. They're not going to give up on this. Mm-hmm. And if Trump gets in there, he said he will kill this on the federal level. It will die.
Well, I think he will. And, you know, they were afraid of that. And I told the Orsted people at a meeting a couple of years ago, I said, look, I know you're racing against January 20th, 2025. I get it. You know, but we're not going to just stand back and let you do it. And I do believe when he comes in, because it's a boondoggle, it's not going to help with climate change. And they're huge. We're all paying for it. And I always say this, if you could build the Grand Hotel and get somebody to pay for half the cost, we'd make a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. Get the taxpayers and people who buy electricity pay for half the cost of building these things, and the company in Europe makes billions of dollars. So keep staying the fight on offshore wind. It's not over, and we need to keep pushing. But we got to pray. Get out there and vote. Get your friends to vote, because I believe President Trump will, you know, he'll do one of those executive orders ceremonies to put this to bed.
Yeah, well said. Well said, Mike. Well said. And really, I mean, everybody owes you a great debt of gratitude, because you did a tremendous job in fighting this on behalf of Cape May County, and we really appreciate it. But, you know, we were county chairs together 15 years ago. We've been in the fight a long time together. And I think one of the things that people sometimes don't realize is that we county chairs and people in the leadership, they actually really do need volunteers to help and step up. I mean, the effort in Pennsylvania right now with the Protect the Vote and Trump Force 47 and SwampTheVote.com to get poll watchers is incredibly important, because two things happen on Halloween. Well, and three things. So Orsted, it's the anniversary of them packing up and sailing back. Number two, obviously kids get candy. And three, Democrats rise from the dead and vote. And remember, dead whales don't vote, but dead Democrats do. All right? So We need poll watchers, and we need people to do that. So go to protectthevote.com and sign up. It's essential, right? It's so essential.
Absolutely. We're organizing here in Cape May County to get people to go from here to PA to do that.
Good.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. I mean, because Jersey, unlikely that Trump will pass her here. It's just too blue of a state, statewide.
Too corrupt. There's just too many dead.
Yeah, but I think he'll come close.
So. It's like the Michael Jackson Thriller movie. Every election day in New Jersey is basically what the music video.
Well, so, and I won't do too much commentary on that because there's some of our people that help in that, but you know, that's a whole other show. But yeah, everybody who can should try to get, it's like, are you going to San Francisco? Go to PA.
Yeah.
And
no, it's
sign
true.
Up and go and volunteer. And my belief is they won't be able to do what they did during COVID. The Zuckerbucks aren't coming in. The Gates is hiding from the Epstein list and he can't put all that money into Philadelphia County again. And so hopefully... We don't have that kind of thing happen. And if they don't have that happen, they can't win. It's the only way they won, right? So, you know,
I love that you tied the Epstein list into that. That was great. Well done. Now, the only question is, will P. Diddy Epstein himself by not killing himself?
Yeah, well, you know.
By not killing himself, but still winding up killing himself by not killing himself. That's the only question we have. Keep that list protected as well. Mike Donahue's with me. He's chairman of the Cape May County Republican Party. He's an attorney. And what's your law firm again?
Blaney, Donahue, and Weinberg in Avalon here in Cape May County.
Yeah, it's Avalon. Nice little town there, Avalon. Not bad.
Beautiful town.
Beautiful little town in Avalon. Jeff Van Drew is doing a great job in Congress. I saw the other day, of course, the attacks on him by the New Jersey media. They, you know, as a far right-wing extremist member of Congress. That's hysterical. He was a Democrat until 2020. He's a dentist.
Yeah.
They have him out to be like the like he's freaking Mussolini or something.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Massive hit piece in NJ.com and a little magazine of all the horrible white supremacists. You know, it's all a bunch of baloney. I mean, you know, I know most of the people that they took that shot at. They did this to me after January 6th because I'd gone in like 7 years earlier to a local Oath Keepers. I went with the Democrat mayor of one of our towns to talk about the Second Amendment. And 7 years later, they say, but there was a former Superior Court judge who went to a meeting. It was disgusting. And that's what they just did to all these guys. And Jeff, to take Jeff, the problem with they have with Jeff is he's vocal, right? And they hate him extra because he was a Democrat.
Yep.
And he realized the error of his ways, right, and came over. And he's just been strong ever since. He's a huge supporter of the president. I mean, he's really the reason why the president came to Wildwood in 2020 and came back. And, you know, Van Drew just grinds every day. He is a consummate, you know, congressman and just fights every day. He's a huge part of what we did in fighting offshore wind, continues to do that. You know, the Atlantic City Electric is a whole other thing, but they just raised their rates significantly. And a lot of that has to do with the green energy program. Like all of a sudden, hey, we got to pay for all this stuff. We need to raise your rates.
Thank you. Thank you for making that point.
And Van Drew's fighting that. Very aggressively, just had a field hearing on that. So we'd love, I mean, I remember people calling me when he was flipping and saying, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean? They give you Michael Jordan, you take him. Like, he's our guy.
Right.
Now, right? And I love having Jeff on our team. So he's a huge part of what we do, and he'll be a huge draw on the ballot throughout his district in South Jersey this year. Helps every candidate up above him and below him, and we love having him as our congressman.
Yeah, the Democrats hate him like, I got a buddy here who's divorced, like he hates his ex-wife. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same. It's kind of the same feeling, right?
Probably.
Like, it's probably that. So, this point, though, you just made about electricity rates, because Trump brought it up in Reading the other day, and there was a big article in Arizona, which is a swing state. Trump's leading. He's got a slight lead in Arizona, but people are furious about their electricity bills. And I made this point on the show the other day. People need to wake up to how much of that is driven by subsidizing the energy nonsense.
That's exactly
and I don't
right.
think people get that point.
Well, you know, you get that bill and you got to break that down and figure out what all that code means about the fees they're charging you. So it's important that people like Congressman Van Drew do these things and have these field hearings and his op-ed in papers and things like that, because people, you don't know it unless you're really looking at it or you hear about it. And you're right, it's happening all over the country. And it's, you know, I think about my 89-year-old mother who still does her own bills, sitting down there to pay her electric bill, going, oh, why is it $20 more?
Yeah.
You know, oh, because you got to subsidize this giant offshore wind company from Denmark. You got to help pay for them. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. So, look, Jersey's not hopeless. We'll see next year. We got a gubernatorial race. We'll see how that works out. We're going to fight really hard there. But this year, we got to work for Trump. And, you know, if we can, if we could turn that corner, not just for these issues, but for all of these issues we're all concerned about, it's a huge thing. And I worry that our country won't recover if he doesn't get elected again.
And we got to vote for Curtis Bashoff for Senate and all the death ballot candidates as well.
Curtis and Jeff. And Lenny Desiderio, who's a commission director, and I want to mention him because he really was the guy who greenlighted me. When he became the director of our Board of Commissioners, he said, what do we need to do to really fight this offshore wind? And I said, everything. You got to support the grassroots. You got to litigate. You got to say no. And he said, do it. Do it all. Mm. And he actually, it was his idea to fire the banner planes that said stop offshore wind.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So he deserves a lot of credit in that fight. And we're still in it. And we're still going on that front.
Fight's still going on. Chairman Mike Donohue, thanks for joining me here at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey.
Thanks, Rich. Great to see you.
It's always great to see you, buddy. How can people get in touch with you?
I'm on Twitter at Judge Michael D.
Judge Michael D, like Dredd? Judge Michael
D. Right, Judge
All right,
Dredd.
Judge
and Dredd. I'm Mike at BlaineyDonahue.com.
All right,
really
buddy. Great seeing you, brother.
Right,
thanks for coming today.
My brother.
Thank you, Chairman. All right, listen, we are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's really great to see you. Melissa, I think we can move that reserve sign. I don't think anyone needs... I think we can free up that table, don't you think? Because we got all these people out there. What do you think? Can we unreserve it? Yeah, let's unreserve that table. What do you think? I say, why not? I mean, I'm the commander-in-chief of the Zioli Army. Can't I do that, I guess, right? Thank you very much. This is great. This is good stuff. All right, well, I got to do Emmons, my great friends over at Emmons Roofing and Siding, they're going to take great care of you, and they're going to make sure that you have the inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson window replacement, and more. So just go to emmonsroofing.com, and do what I did. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Jay, come here a sec. Quick sec. Stay over here just like 2 seconds. And they will take great care of you. emmonsroofing.com. Reach out to them today because Matt and Stephanie are going to make sure you're satisfied. And whether it's Anderson window replacement, doors, roofing, skylights, and more, we've had it done in our home, and you should do it in yours. And if you have a Jersey Shore house, make sure you do it now before winter comes. Because winter is brutal on those shore homes, okay? Just so go to emmonsroofing.com, 10% off inflation relief discount, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cape May's an island in the sun, baby. Yeah, it is. Come on in, everybody. Come on in. What a crowd this is. This is a big, big deal. Welcome to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. This is awesome. So Henry yelled at me before that I went too long, and then the last break, I went too short. So I can't win with this friggin' guy. It's unbelievable.
The spot load's all different.
I can't win with you.
Sorry,
I try to get out on time, and you yell at me for getting out on time. But you're saying it wasn't
one
on time.
One and only. One and only.
You're saying I pulled out early is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could have taken that out 10 more minutes.
That's what Willie Brown said, too. highly inappropriate, by the way. Get your minds out of the gutter, people. What's that guy's name, Justin? Mike Lorenzo?
Yeah, Mike.
Mike Lorenzo brought some Zioli Army shirts to give away. He is a big benefactor of the Travis Manning Foundation, and so he brought some extras to give away to people that don't have them, because... All right, I know. I don't even have one. And I'm honored. I really am. Like I'm so honored that people identify in the Zioli Army. You can transition into the Zioli Army. We're always taking new recruits. I love it. It makes me very, very happy. And really, as a talk show host, there's nothing better than seeing somebody wear your name on a shirt. Except when they have it crossed through like Road Warrior does with that, like the Ghostbuster symbol, because he hates me. But... How do we want to give these away? All right, how about this? Is anybody, during the break, if you got a special occasion, maybe we'll throw, we also have some beanies, some Zioli Army beanies, okay? We have all these things for sale in a store, but they're not really making any for us anymore because they're, what's the word for it? Cheap, yeah. The company is friggin' cheap. So, you know, there's that. All right, now I got to play a couple clips for you. We got a lot of great audio, a lot of great stuff here today. And here's a little, would you like, who's, everybody had their vegetables today? Have you had your salads? All right, let's have some word salads, shall we? Let's toss these word salads. Here's a Kamala Harris word salad montage, the very best Kamala word salads of all time. This is a long clip, so we may not be able to play all of it now, but we're going to play all of it throughout the show today. Cut number three.
Especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action.
All right, stop it, stop
that,
it,
I thank
stop
you
it,
all.
Stop, stop, stop. All right, here's what we're going to do. Every time she repeats a word, I need somebody to yell, drink. All right. Who wants to be my designated drink yeller? All right. I saw your hand first. All right, come up here, ma'am, if you would. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, come on up. All right. Come on up. And for your, do you have a Zioli Army shirt?
No, I don't.
All right, so for your work here, we're going to give you one. All right. Take the microphone here.
Oh.
So every time you hear, don't, you can't curse though on the air. It's the only thing, all right? Yeah, the whole FCC thing and whatnot, and the losing our license and, you know, getting sued. Otherwise,
I'm
you know, there's
the
no
dump.
Issue. Yeah, otherwise there's no issue with it. So I picked the, it's good, yours, your, I picked the right person here. She walks up and drops an S-bomb first thing. What's your name?
Pat.
Pat? Pat comes up and drops an S-bomb, and she's like, you know, while we're at it, let's do the six other dirty words. F it. Great. Made the right choice with this. All right. All right, so Pat, let's practice, all right? So I'm going to practice. The thing about the passage of time is we celebrate the passage of time.
Drink!
But there were two drinks there. You got to go drink, drink. All right, let's practice it again. All right, ready? All right. The significance of the passage of time is the passage
drink!
Of time.
Drink!
There you go. All right. And you got to do it more like drink, like that. Like, you know, like you're giving people permission. Go ahead. Ready? All right.
This
I think
is a matter
Pat's
of
ready.
Urgent.
Let's do it.
Priority for all of us. And I know we will work on this together.
Business of our work. Is for the council to report on the work that has occurred
drink!
Since our last meeting across these areas. We will today also discuss the work
drink!
The work we must still do
drink!
To continue to move forward.
But when you present the suggestion that anyone is saying that it is time for a new generation, and they're running against the person who is president. And it, when presented as though it's an attack, I would like to let us all be clear that the attack is misplaced. If the point of it is that we need leadership that is strong, because we have a strong leader in Joe Biden. Thank you very much, madam.
Doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time.
Drink!
The significance of the passage of time.
Drink!
So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Drink!
We know that we really are quite
all right,
behind.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break. Thank you, Pat. Well done. Well done. What size do you need? Pick out your size here, Pat. We have some guests here. Can I have one of the 19-year-olds come on up? Would you mind? Would you like to do it for us? All right, because I know you're not old enough to drink yet. Do you mind coming up? Come on up. All right, let's do this, because we got the new generation, the next generation. Would you like to have a Zioli Army shirt? Yeah, what's your name?
Ella.
Ella? Do you go to college?
Yes. Yeah.
Where do you go?
I go to community college.
And do you support what we do here?
Yeah.
Really? So you're a conservative?
Yeah.
In college?
Yeah.
Look at this, everybody. How great is that, huh? All right. Now, I know you don't drink because you're only 19, right?
No.
All right. And your mom's here. But I'll bet you, you could probably do a good drink for us, right? So let's practice. Okay. So the significance of the passage of time is the significance...
Drink!
...of the passage...
Drink!
...of time.
Drink!
All right, good. So just like you're at a sorority house, but without the fake accent. All right. Keep going here. Here we go. Let's do another one, DeSantis.
We know that we really are quite behind in terms of maximizing our collective understanding about how we will engage on the technology of today and what we can quickly and easily predict will be the technology over the next decade. So to maintain our position as the United States of America on this issue, it is critical that we work together to understand where we are, to recognize and have the courage to speak truth about what is obsolete, and then to partner to ensure that we are speaking the same language with the same motivation, inspired by the opportunity of it all, but then doing the work of updating.
So Ukraine
you missed one.
Is a country in Europe.
Oh, you can't hear?
It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia
Drink.
Is a powerful country. Russia
I'm
decided
trying.
To invade
Drink.
A smaller country called Ukraine. So,
all right, you know what? We'll take
that's
a break.
Wrong.
Thank you. Well done. Excellent job. We're very proud of you. That was fantastic. Give me a high five. Awesome. Thank you so much. I only have larges, but we got to get you a small ladies' cut edition. Do we have any of those by chance? Maybe we do. We'll see if Walter can hook you up. All right. That was great. Well done. Well done. Zioli Army coming out in force. All right. Let me welcome. She's used to telling everybody to drink. That's for sure. Let's do her walk-up music, everybody. Let's do it. The walk-up
Oh,
music.
I dropped the ball on this one big time.
Oh, come on, Henry.
I completely forgot.
You forgot about Dr. Victoria Coates' walk-up music?
I'm rusty.
That's all right. Let's welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. Yeah, here we do it. Go. Yeah, baby. Yeah. She's as heartbroken about the Phillies as Doug Emhoff is at the Daily Mail. Dr. Victoria Coates is the former Deputy National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump. She's Vice President of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy, and she is the author of a brand new book, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She's Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello! Crowd goes wild
well,
for you. Hi!
Sounds very festive down there in Cape May.
Yeah, we got like 10 or 12 people came out to the show today.
I don't believe you.
my rallies here are bigger than Kamala Harris's rallies. That's the thing. I'm not even running for president. It's pretty
amazing.
Well,
and the people come voluntarily. You don't have to pay them.
That's a great point. Where do we want to begin today? I wanted to play a clip for you. Since your book is out now, available for pre-order, with a foreword written by Senator Ted Cruz, your buddy. And listen, you know, I've got it on good authority that when Trump wins, Dr. Victoria Coates is going to be in a high-ranking position with the national security of this country. And remember our deal. What's our deal? What are you going to get me into?
I'm going to take you to the Navy mess for lunch. And However, I
yes.
can support the former president, of course I will, but I'm pretty confident, regardless of what position I'm in, that I can arrange that lunch.
Okay. And then number two, the White House Easter egg roll for the kids.
Oh, yeah. That's even easier. Yeah. That should be a no-brainer.
All right. Great. Fantastic. Because I don't like anything that's complicated, so that's beautiful. I'm going to actually book the trip to D.C. now for Easter break. That's how confident I am Trump's going to win. I'm not even going to do a non-refundable. I'm not even doing non-refundable. I mean, I'm doing non-refundable. I'm going all in. You know what I mean? All right. So let's begin with this. So progressive icon and crazy person Ta-Nehisi Coates says that he may have participated in the October 7th massacre. This is some audio here. Speaking hypothetically, Coates said he may not be above participating in something like this. There's a whole story around this with the journalist, which I talked about yesterday from CBS News. But let's take a listen to Cut 21.
And I haven't said this out loud, but I think about it a lot. Well, I, 20 years old, born into Gaza, which is a giant open-air jail. And what I mean by that is if my father is a fisherman and he goes too far out into the sea, he might get shot by somebody off of, you know, the side of Israeli boats. If my mother picks the olive trees and she gets too close to the wall, she might be shot. If my little sister has, you know, cancer and she needs treatment because there are no, you know, facilities to do that in Gaza and I don't get the right permit, she might die. And I grow up under that oppression and that poverty and the wall comes down. Am I also strong enough or even constructed in such a way where I say, this is too far? I don't know that I am. Hmm. You know, I don't know that I am.
Dr. Coates, your reaction to that, please.
Well, I do find it ironic that both of our last names are Coates, and we've both written a book about Israel, but it couldn't be a more different approach. It's literally opposite. My hope is that some folks go on Amazon and just Googled Coates Israel and mistakenly buy my book so they can get a little bit of truth.
Yes,
after that
would be fantastic. We would love that. Absolutely.
Maybe we can set up an algorithm or something. We can ask Elon to help us. But no, I mean, that is the kind of apologism of permitting the behavior of the Palestinians that has caused this problem and that has, you know, made them in this vicious cycle of violence that nobody seems to be able to break. But what you're saying is it's just fine what they did. And he says he thinks about it a lot. So he is basically fantasizing about participating in an October 7th style attack on a regular basis. And, you know, his hosts are sitting there permitting this. Just, I mean, it seems to them, and, you know, an okay thing to express that. And this is what the Israelis told us over the summer, that really it is in the battle for the Jewish state, but it hasn't been widely published here, that the first wave into Israel were the Hamas fighters. The second were their junior partners, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. But the third wave were just the normal so-called innocent civilian Palestinians who live in Gaza. And they came in armed with knives, saws, whatever they could pick up, and just started looting and raping and murdering right alongside the technically, you know, official terrorists. So that's what he's saying is okay, that Israel has brought this upon themselves. And it's just wrong. I think the international community has brought this upon the Palestinians by allowing them to think this is legitimate behavior.
When CBS News... when the gentleman who was the guy that got disciplined for this, I forget his name at the moment, and I'm having trouble finding it. You know the guy that asked the questions of him on Good Morning America?
Yeah.
And they disciplined him over this, and he had to basically apologize because he's a Jew, and he's lived in Israel. He's Jewish, his family. And he went back at the other Coates, the lesser Coates, and said to him, you know, you have a lot of things in here about Israel being the bad guy, and for that he had to go to journalist re-education camp and apologize. And I think that's probably part of the problem, right? Is that something I've talked about with our friend Dr. Wilfred Riley, is that the media and the left have just embraced this notion that Israel is the bad guy because they've decided that there always has to be an oppressor and an oppressed, and they've determined that Israel is the oppressor. And that narrative is something that is pushed in this book, that not your book, but the Lesser Coates' piece of trash book. And it's also pushed in college campuses every day. And that's the problem, is that that mindset pervades. And if you challenge that mindset, then you get yelled at and the left will not tolerate that. And that's a big part of the problem, I think.
Oh, of course. And you just put your finger on it, Rich, which is this is what everyone's being taught in school. And so I spent a fair amount of time in the battle for the Jewish state debunking this. And so that you guys don't have to, I went through the curricula of some of these popular courses that our sons and daughters are taking in their august institutions of higher learning and mm-hmm. read some of the readings that they are assigned. And these things come to us from something called Cambridge Core. Cambridge University selects these articles and puts them out. And what they say, universally, is that Israel is illegal under international law. And it is a settler colonial nation that is illegitimate, and that the Palestinians are the proper owners of this land, that they are the indigenous people who have been displaced. And by extension, so is the United States. This is where it really gets insidious. That's why they're here. That's why we saw more demonstrations for Hamas than for Israel on the anniversary of October 7th, because the United States then is the other country, which is a settler colonial nation that other right. people came from. You know, our folks came from Germany, your folks came from Italy, but we all came together to form this idea, this notion of a country, rather than being, sort of united by ethnicity. We're united by a concept, and that, like Israel, is unique. And for these folks, it's illegitimate. So they're absolutely, as the other Coates says, trying to cast Israel as illegitimate and illegal. But next step in that journey is the United States.
Well, yes, because they have to teach everybody that we are a colonialist. So basically, here's how it goes. We are the worst country on earth. Our colonialist white supremacist past. We are terrible. And that's why everybody in the world is trying to come here. And we should let them come to this awful, horrible place to atone for how awful and horrible we are. Did I get that basically right?
You did. And that's what former President Trump is literally on stage talking about right now, is that this is absolutely intolerable, that we should, be just accepting unfettered flows of people. But that is the philosophical framework behind it, that because we are illegitimate and fundamentally illegal and inherently racist, as you said, mm-hmm. who are we to say who should live here or not live here?
Right.
That is an article of faith for them, that everyone, be they a TDA gang member, be they a repeat murderer, whatever, everyone has a right to come here.
Dr. Victoria Coates is with me right now. Her new book is available for pre-order right now on Amazon.com. It is The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win, with a foreword by Senator Ted Cruz. And it's available for pre-order now, as I said. All right. I want to ask you a question. I was reading a poll earlier today from Franklin and Marshall, and it's a poll that was done in September, but it was interesting about Pennsylvania residents, and they were asking, or likely voters, I should say, what their top concerns were, and it's the economy and energy, and they're intertwined here. Now, you're an expert in energy, and as you think about Pennsylvania being the must-win state, and obviously we've talked a lot about fracking, the future of fracking, Kamala Harris trying to walk back her past statements where she said she wanted to absolutely 100% ban fracking. She said that multiple times. She joked about it on late night TV. The price that people are feeling for their energy, and I'm not just talking about the gas in their car, but their electric rates, heating their homes, all these other things. And then the other side, which we don't talk enough about, I think, which is the commercial side of energy. The farmers who have to put diesel into their tractors, the truck drivers that have to put diesel in, and then the efforts by the left, to ban essentially gas-powered cars and switch everything over to EVs. I think that people, and the working class in particular, Dr. Coates, have figured out that the war on energy, which the Democrats absolutely embrace with the Green New Deal, is the single biggest reason why the economy is hurting in such a way right now. And I think that's part of why we're seeing this massive fundamental sea change in terms of the working class, the working men and women, rolling up their sleeves and saying that they're going to be part of Trump's coalition. I think it's a lot to do with that war on energy. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's absolutely it. And it is our lifeblood as Americans, given the spaces we need to travel, both to move goods and to move people. You know, we need a lot of energy. We will only need more. I think we mentioned last week that Three Mile Island is being restarted. I can only imagine how expensive that is. But they are restarting Three Mile Island. I grew up in Lancaster, so I know all about it.
Coates is Amish, by the way. Coates is Amish. I don't know if you know this. She's not supposed to be doing this interview.
Mennonite, actually. I'm descended from Hans Herr. Coates is my husband's name. He's much more aristocratic.
There you go.
There's one customer for all the electricity that will be generated by Three Mile Island, which is Microsoft. And Microsoft is willing to pay that tab to get those electrons. That's how hungry our country is going to be for energy. And I was in Provo last week. Next week, we're all headed out to Oil City in western Pennsylvania. You should come one year. It's amazing. It's where the first well, Drake Well, was drilled in the 1800s. And so we have the conference, which is now mostly about natural gas, out at the museum they've put around this awesome well that was the first one in the United States. And talk about, you know, just common sense solutions for PA energy. And we try as hard as we can to make it bipartisan. Senator Casey, to his credit, is sending a video, as is Dave McCormick. I think Dave's might be a little bit more compelling, but main credit to Senator Casey for doing that. And that shows you that he knows what's going on in this state. And I assume that's one of Terry Madonna's polls that you were citing. But he's very, very good at this, at taking the pulse of Pennsylvanians. And I think, you know, that for Pennsylvania is almost existential. You know, if she comes in and continues to break down our ability to build the infrastructure we need to both expand our capacity, we could have massively more exports out of Pennsylvania, but we can't move it around under the current rules and our current regime. So I think, you know, the fact that Casey's sending a video tells us everything we need to know about those who actually know the state. And I think you see Fetterman's position mirror that. That this is crucial to Pennsylvania, and if everyone is correct that this is the state you have to win, even if she's saying she doesn't hate fracking anymore, you know she's not going to do anything to open things up. And right. So I think that becomes a very clear decision.
You know what I can't understand, and this is something from, I guess, you know, I spent most of my career as a political operative until I got into radio, and obviously I didn't start out in radio, which you can tell by how bad I am at this, but in all the years I was in politics, I still cannot believe that the change candidate did not on day one come out and call for the president to take away the ban on the export of liquid natural gas, knowing that they have to win Pennsylvania. I mean, I cannot believe that early voting is underway in the must-win state of Pennsylvania, and this ban on the export of liquid natural gas is still in place. It's the most mind-boggling thing I can think of politically, except for the fact that I think the Democrats have a base problem. And I know that, you know, you're not here to talk politics from the Heritage Foundation. I understand that. But they have a base problem in that there are a lot of core Democrat voters that are hoping deep down inside that Kamala Harris is lying when she says she no longer wants to ban fracking. And so they may vote for her, hoping that that is the case. And so when she gets in there, much like how Joe Biden canceled the Keystone XL pipeline on day one, that's the constituency that she's going to serve. Because otherwise, you would come out and you would say, we are right now undoing this ban on liquid natural gas. And you would go a long way towards reassuring Pennsylvanians that you are for their industry. The fact that they're not doing that tells me not only that they are politically stupid, but they have a base problem, Dr. Coates.
Oh, 100%. And I think you're correct. I do work for 501c3, so I would never dabble in politics. But
correct.
You know, if we have no idea
who you're voting for president. I have no clue. Like, I've been up at night trying to figure this out.
I'm an undecided female PhD in Philadelphia. I am the target demographic. But they don't hope she's going to change her rhetoric to match her policies. They know she is.
Yeah, that's
they know,
fair.
They know everything that they've done for the last now almost 4 years has been a war on energy. It's a war on Pennsylvania. It's a war on Alaska. It's a war on Oklahoma. It's a war on Texas. And, you know, all of our great it's a heck of a war on West Virginia. All of our great energy producing states have felt it. Now, we're different from those other states in that we seem to prefer to be governed by extreme liberals who are trying to further this very progressive policy. I think that's something we might want to give some thought to going forward. But in this case, I think they're quite confident that the second she's elected, all of the fracking, you know, pro-fracking, pro-export, pro-energy talk goes out the window. And she would be, I think, considerably more radical than President Biden. And, you know, I think Josh Shapiro will go along with it.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. I mean, that's the problem right there. Let's switch topics, Dr. Victoria Coates, while I have you, and let's talk about Iran, because, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about Iran in the news, clearly for a lot of different reasons, and the question of whether or not they would get a nuclear weapon. And I know Trump's been talking about this a lot. There's a story today about in the Wall Street Journal, which I'm sure you are very familiar with, Iran's secret warning to U.S. allies, don't help Israel or you're next. The threats through diplomatic channels have prompted Arab states to tell the U.S. they won't aid any attack on Iran. Now, I don't know why there would be necessarily an attack on Iran by any country other than Israel, but my sense of it is, from just trying to understand this a little bit, that they're trying to pick a fight, hoping that Israel has to go in there and has to fight Iran. I think that's almost what they're hoping for. They keep seeming to poke the bear here. Doesn't it seem like that?
Well, I think what Iran is trying to do is undermine both the existing Abraham Accords and the prospect of any future peace deal between Israel and particularly Saudi Arabia by, you know, making these leaks to the press. And it's really actually extraordinary how the Wall Street Journal has become the mouth, the news side, not that the opinion side, has become pretty much the mouthpiece of the Iranian regime. They leak to them all day long. So if you want to know what the Iranians are thinking, the Journal's the place to go. But yes, so I think, you know, A, it's meaningless. I mean, sure, it would be nice if the Israelis could use Saudi airspace if they do decide to attack Iran proper, which they should be perfectly in their legitimate case to do so after they've been attacked twice in the last 5 months. But you can also go through Iraq, and there's nothing the Iraqis can do about it to get there. So it's not necessary to them. This is a way, you know, the Gulfies can kind of save face. They obviously don't want to be attacked again. Remember, in September of 2019, the Iranians directly attacked Abqaiq, the most important, for the moment, energy installation on the planet, the biggest refinery of Saudi crude. So, you know, that has happened before. And, you know, right now, the Saudis aren't that confident that the United States is going to help them. I think that would change under President Trump if he were reelected. But right now, this doesn't come as a huge surprise, you know, because if they don't think we're going to protect them, you know, their response is going to be, please don't hurt us. So I wouldn't read too much into it.
Okay. And I guess the last thing I want to ask you before we go is, Do you think the Phillies should make any changes for next season?
Well, I think we have to. And Coach Saban, Nick Saban, down in Alabama, was asked about the Vanderbilt defeat of Alabama. And he said, you know what? Complacency and arrogance is a deadly combination. And I'm afraid that's what we saw, sadly. I mean, he is a smart man. And
yeah, you're getting a round of applause for that, by the way.
So I think maybe they needed this wake-up call. I think we got a lot of our core pieces are strong and should be kept. But I think we got to look at those weak ones that did not come through, you know, in the biggest moment, who seemed to feel that they were entitled to beat the Mets. You know, we needed to look no further than the London series when the Phillies won the first game handily and then lost the second game, which was ridiculous. To a much weaker team. And so I think ending that, wherever it sources, you know, that has to go. And I think we do need some additional pieces to strengthen the core group. But, you know, we've got AJ and Devontae back on Sunday. We have the Flyers playing tonight with all our new Russians. which is
this Russia collusion is amazing.
Bright, shiny new Russians. I guess I'm going to have to stop calling Ovechkin Putin stooge. But it's, you know, there's always grounds for hope. It was, you know, it was a good season while it lasted, and hopefully somebody's taking this pretty seriously, because, you know, I shelled out an embarrassing amount for tickets that we would be at the game right now watching. Yeah. They got to refund that. So they know how much money they're losing.
Yeah, and to lose to the Mets really hurts, because Chris Christie's a fan. God. It really hurts.
It's terrible.
You know?
Just all awful. The teams very dark day.
Of all the teams in all the world. All right, my friend, listen, please pre-order her book today. It's very important that we make this a huge success. I know it will be for her, no doubt about it. The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. Dr. Victoria Coates, thank you, my friend. Always great having you on the show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Everybody have fun.
All right. And as we continue along the show, I want to give a shout out to Jonathan and Pam from Mulligan's in Wildwood. My buddies are here. We've been there live many times. Mulligan Shore Bar, it's a great place. Stop by and say hello. But we are packed here at the Grand Hotel. Come on in. We're going to make some room. I know the bar areas overflow. This might be, I'm going to go on record and say, our biggest crowd yet. This is pretty big. Can we squeeze in some people at the reserve table? Diane, can we let some people sit with you guys? Is that all right? Can we do that? Maybe, yeah, we got some, four people. Four people, come and sit over here. We got some chairs for you. This is huge. This is great. What a big deal this is. I love this. Listen, Cape May is beautiful. And do we love the Grand Hotel or what, huh? Well, you have a code you can use, Zioli, and save 25% off your midweek stay anytime by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com from now until the end of the year. And from September 29th through December 21st, book a fabulous fall midweek stay. And when you stay multiple nights, you will receive resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's Restaurant for food and drink or at the gift shop. And check out their Grand Escape weekends. It's not too early to think about Thanksgiving break. The family will love an ocean holiday Thanksgiving. Hemingway's will do the cooking and cleaning for you, and you can just enjoy the family and the break and the heated pool, and everybody will love it. The heated indoor pool. The Grand is the perfect place for you and your spouse or the entire family. Whatever your travel wishes this fall, the Grand has specials and incentives to fit all your travel desires. You will not be disappointed. Book directly with them for the best rates. Book your stay today. Call 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550 or visit them online at GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.